Chapter 4. At 8 o'clock, Joe Lee asked Hank if he would mind giving her a ride home. He looked up, startled. Small rainbows of light jumped from his glasses. "Sure, yes," he stammered. "That would be no problem." She bid goodnight to the leering cook as Hank closed a napkin on the place where he'd been reading. They walked out past the night manager, who probably wondered if Hank was getting any, then decided she was just using him as a flunky. When they pulled up to her house, Joe Lee thanked him for being so nice and asked if he'd like to come over and listen to some records and talk sometime. "That would be really nice," Hank said. Then she asked him if he wanted to come over on Monday night, adding that her husband would be out on the road with his truck and not expected back until at least Wednesday. Hank said that he thought he would be able to come over to her house any time she wanted him there. She smiled, got his number, hunched her shoulders together, and got out of the car. Later on at home, Hank's parents sat in the kitchen, drunken little smiles on their faces. "Hello," they said. In response, Hank grimaced, went into his room. He decided to settle into an earphones blast of Eric Clapton and let thoughts of Joe Lee when her phone call arrived at his house. "My husband is leaving tonight at 11 o'clock instead. Do you want to come over then?" He recognized the silky voice, but he couldn't believe it was her. He began to sweat. His heart fluttered. "Yeah, sure. That would be no problem," he mumbled. She was gone before he said anything else. Hank drifted back into the music, smiling, until he saw his mother standing in the doorway and waving her arms like an overweight propeller, a worried expression on her face. He grimaced and took off the earphones. "This must be bad," Hank thought. "She's actually going to talk to me about something." "Who was that, Henry?" she asked. "A girl," Hank grimaced. He was scared. He'd given Joe Lee a ride home before and caught a glimpse of her husband, Tony, who was a large, hard-stomach man who always wore a crazy, looking-for-trouble expression. Burns and scars covered his hands and lower arms. Hank went into the bathroom to contemplate his sanity. This was perhaps the most ironic indignity foisted upon him yet. The world just wouldn't leave him alone. He felt his groin and thought about the few times a month he allowed the sheets to get wet. Releasing the anger, he let out a groan. He took a shower and the water felt splendid as it fell from his hair down his back. At least the night wouldn't be the same old shit. In his room, Hank dried his hair just as the telephone rang again. "Just a minute," he heard his mother say, and then in that sarcastic tone that indicated that Ron was on the other line, Hank wrapped himself in a towel, grimaced at his mother, and picked up the phone. "What's happening, man?" Ron asked over the line. "Not much," Hank said. "Let's go out for a while," Ron said. "Maybe, for just a little while. In about 20 minutes, Hank replied, and then added, "I've got an appointment at 11. After the call, Hank dressed, returned to the bedroom for his cologne his father had given him for last Christmas, and then went back to the kitchen. Sniffing the cologne, his father draped an arm around him and asked in a thick lilt, "Who are you going to use it on?" "I don't know," said Hank, disengaging from his father's arm, looking up at the man. "Why don't you and Ma find somebody for me?" The remark was an impulsive one. He watched his mother's face, her computer running. He ducked back towards his room. His father followed. "Do you need money, Henry?" "Sure," said Hank, in his best bowling alley fashion. His father left a 20 on the dresser. Hank stood in front of his reflection, staring out at his jawline. He grinned. Perhaps some things could work out after all. Moving toward the kitchen, he picked up speed, hoping for a quick exit. His mother and father had gotten out the bottle again. His mother sat quietly, focused on her drink, while his father grinned and lit a cigar. "Come back whenever you feel like getting here, Hank." His father never called him Hank. His mother didn't take her eyes from the drink, although both her husband and son saw her wince. Ron sat on the porch waiting with his Aunt Dottie and their dog Chipper. She was smoking, rocking back and forth in her chair, and asking him where he was going, with the satisfaction that she'd help make his going possible. He heard Ilsa, the neighbor, call, "How are you tonight, Mrs. Thomas?" as she made her way across the lawn. "Christ," said Dottie, under her breath, swatting away an imaginary bunch of insects. "Can't even come out without getting attacked." "The bugs are bad this time of year, Mrs. Thomas." She made her way to the porch steps while Aunt Dottie stared at her like a Martian. She called her Ilsa because Ilsa called her Mrs. Thomas. Whenever Ilsa would switch and start calling her Dorothy, she would immediately start calling her Mrs. Rudolph. "Did you know that last night you left the light on in Mr. Thomas's room all night?" "Did you see anything going on in there, Ilsa?" "What do you mean, Mrs. Thomas?" Ilsa had a note of shock in her voice. "Just anything that you might want to report to me before you told anyone else." "I was just hoping you had no trouble, Mrs. Thomas." "Mr. Thomas left for the hospital from that room 2 years ago and died. I doubt that there'll be any more trouble there." Mrs. Rudolph turned to start back across the lawn to her property, just as Ron saw Hank's VW turn the corner. He rubbed Chipper's head, started down the stairs. "I'll see you tomorrow, Aunt Dottie," he said. Hank sat with his hands on the steering wheel. As Ron closed the door, he hit the gas and pulled the gear shift into second. He felt tight. "So what's going on?" Ron asked. Thinking of their lives at stake, Hank was unsure if he should tell Ron. With a frown, he brought his fingers up to his tip of his nose and squeezed. "I don't know how to say it," Hank started, and then added, "Let's just say there's somebody I have to talk to at 11 o'clock. "A chick," Ron guessed. "Yeah," Hank said. Ron laughed. "Where'd you meet her, man?" "It's a secret," said Hank. "What do you mean, a secret?" "Well, she's married." Ron was excited. "You're going to see a married woman? Fuck." He rolled down the window and stuck out his arm like a rudder. "How'd it happen?" For a moment, Hank was quiet. Finally, he spoke up. "I didn't do anything. It just happened." He repeated the line a few seconds later. It felt comfortable making dramatic statements around Ron, and this was more drama than he'd ever had before. After more thought, Hank decided that he'd better tell somebody about where he was going to be in case something happened to him. The words came out in a calculated blurt. "I'm going over to Joe Lee's house." Ron's eyes grew. "Joe Lee?" Hank scowled, hearing her name from his friend's mouth. "You're going to see Joe Lee?" "Holy shit, man." Hank frowned again and realized he'd made a mistake. "She's pretty old, isn't she?" Hank hadn't thought much about Jolie's age, partially because he was paralyzed with thoughts of her husband with a crossbow aimed at him. Are you sure you should go, man? Ron asked, breaking into his thoughts. Hank considered the question. It was always preferable not to do something that he might not like, he thought with a glance at Ron's quizzical expression. The image of the crossbow returned, blood pulsing through the monster's arms, swimming through the scars and veins. He looked desperately for another place to focus his attention. "Let's stop and get something to eat," said Ron. "I don't really care where we go, but if it was up to me, I'd be heading for burgers." Hank peeled off toward the quickest route to the Dairy Queen and switched on the radio station. Sweet Judy Blue Eyes filtered into his ears, and Joe Lee's long dimpled smile came into his mind, carrying him away until he reached the Dairy Queen light. The boys let the song play through and then went inside. "Do you think you'll get laid?" Ron asked his friend. The question took Hank's mind to an image of him hurriedly closing up his pants and running out the back door as a truck stopped in front of her house. At that moment, he realized that he couldn't have sex until they talked about how to sidestep her husband. When they left the Dairy Queen, Ron thought about offering to shake Hank's hand, but decided it would look too corny. In the Dylan voice, he mimicked, "Good luck," before Hank dropped him off. Turning off the radio, Hank tried to quiet himself. Everything would be all right if he just kept his sense of self-control. He drove past her house without slowing down, and then circled back toward his target. A single light glowed from the apartment. The shades were drawn, and the curtains were closed behind them. Hank drove around the corner and parked, waiting for his breathing to become regular. It wouldn't do to be waiting at her door, panting. He'd brought 3 records and 2 joints along with him. If his father really knew anything, he would be proud of his son's preparedness. He dug into his wallet, found the condom. His face showed embarrassment and fear as he finger outlined the circular band. Fidgeting, he stared at his watch. 10:50. Hank figured he was cutting things a little too close. When Joe Lee opened the door, Hank looked up and took a step backwards. There were no food stains on her clothes, no traces of anything that had gone on before. She looked radiant. Hank smiled broadly. He scolded his mind, believing that it was his sickness that pictured her in a uniform or a dirty bathrobe. He told himself he was a real jerk. Her face and neck were covered with beautiful freckles that she hid during work. They made her look healthier. Hank brought his hand up over his mouth to hide his smile, and Joe Lee giggled at the way he stared at her. "I wasn't sure that you would come," said Joe Lee, giving Hank the most beautiful grin ever, her eyes open like a splendid flower. She led him inside, and he lifted the records that he'd brought with him from his side. "I wasn't sure if you'd heard these or not." Joe Lee took the albums from his hands, and they sat together on the carpet. The living room had a 2-piece couch and a 1-piece record player. The rest of the wall space was occupied by a set of drums. "Let's hear this one," she said, pointing out the Crosby, Stills, and Nash album. She stood, tossed him that tremendous look that made him dizzy, bent over to put on the record, a move that had Hank's eyes transfixed. She sat back down on the spot where the album had been, and they listened to the first strums of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. For a moment, she sucked her tongue, and as she watched, snapped it back into her mouth with a distinct pop while running her fingers along the insides of her thighs. "I think you're a very interesting person," she said. Her words reached over and took him by the hands, though she was caressing her slightly more parted thighs. He looked at her face, saw the lines caressing her forehead, and viewed her as a tormented princess whose rescue from this cheap prison would become his undeniable goal in life. "I know what you must think of me, but I don't love my husband. He doesn't ever satisfy me," she paused, then added, "or talk to me. I'm afraid when he gets drunk, you know." Hank could sense her distress. His mind raced to her rescue. They were fleeing this house. She carried a hastily packed suitcase. He blocked a shot from the beastly husband's crossbow with the door of his VW and roared down the street. The song progressed and Hank grew strong. That strength waned at the creaking of the stairs and a sudden knock at the door. Panic waved through him with an intensity he was sure was going to end his existence. Jolie looked oddly at Hank, then went to the door. From where he sat, he couldn't see the door and was afraid to move. Instead, he just listened. There was good-natured talking that went on forever, and a cold tingling passed over his body. He had sweat through his T-shirt. He looked around the room and spied traces of the defects of Jolie's life with her husband. The frayed arms on the couch, the discolorations in the rug. "Life with this pig must be hell," he thought. His mind drifted to the very tidy house his mother kept. The door closed and Jolie came back into the room, grinning. "That was Jack from upstairs. When Tony goes away, I go up there sometimes." Hank looked worried. Jolie still grinned. "I have a couple of beers with him and his wife." He cleared his throat. "Is it okay? You know, do you think I should?" Jolie smiled once more, put an ashtray on the floor between them, and provocatively placed her foot on the other side of the border the ashtray made. Her face went serious, and Hank tried meeting her gaze with steadiness. For a second, he felt like he'd never accomplish the feat and would run out with his tail between his legs. He struggled, but ultimately met her eyes with a grimness that dwarfed her concern. She flashed him a smile and set his hand in her lap before bringing his fingers up to her lips and kissed the shocked mitt. Hank froze. "Now, what problems do we have, Hank?" she asked in a purr. With that, Hank's head bent in helpless agreement while his heart fluttered. Jolie held his head in her hands and made circular strokes in the little patches of reddish-blonde curls that covered his temples. Then she traced the sides of his glasses with her index fingers, sliding back and forth along the frames before the fingers came to rest on the insides of his earlobes. The phrase, "how sweet it is," penetrated Hank's enraptured state and brain, but even that indignity didn't lessen his ecstasy. Jolie bent down to him until they were face to face, and her sweet tongue slipped into his mouth like a curling wave. Though still too shocked to move, he managed to get hold of her waist and felt her squirming and vibrating. She sought him out, and he was ready to come through. He struggled briefly when he thought he needed air, but she wouldn't release him, and he breathed through his nose. Suddenly, she shifted and every part of her was moving, and all the parts were touching him. Later, when she got up to change the record, he followed her movements with open satisfaction. He could still feel her legs rubbing on his hips. He gasped lightly for air and beamed with a combination of emotions that he thought were never possible. She returned from the record player, sat on the couch he leaned against, and brought him to her knees prior to spreading her legs. When she released his hands, he lost balance. His glasses fell to the edge of his nose, and he brought his hands down to brace himself on the couch. She stared at the picture of his arms on the couch between her legs and laughed, a sheet-rustling giggle. She closed her thighs around his arm and they kissed. As their lips and tongue caressed, Jolie reached down and squeezed the bulge at his crotch, enlarging it, startling him. He hadn't been thinking about his cock, and now she was there. Next, she took her foot and rubbed the same spot between her legs, bringing a groan from his throat. Abruptly, she squeezed his dick one last time and said, "Let's have a drink." The telephone rang just as she stood up. She spoke with ease to her caller. It felt awkward to hear the ease with which she was talking and now laughing. Waiting for her to finish, he lit a cigarette and exhaled deeply. Finally, she came back into the room holding two drinks. At the sight of her, Hank remembered she worked at Wellmont, and the thought sent a twinge through his body. "I'm not really married to Tony," she began, "but I've been with him a long time. I told him that I'd do anything to get out of Pennsylvania." Hank exhaled more deeply. He felt his swelling sinuses cause pressure in his forehead and hoped he wasn't going to sneeze as she spoke. "I really feel attracted to Tony in a lot of ways." Hank's head shook with understanding, and he drew in on his cigarette. He'd begun to smoke while she was on the phone. She tried to decide if she should break out the pot. Maybe it wasn't the right time. "It certainly sounds like you've been through a lot with him," he replied. Unsure of what to say next, he put his head down and pictured the way she looked when he masturbated to his fantasy of her. They were the only ones in the luncheonette, and he'd walked in back of her and unzipped her uniform. She straddled the counter and slid herself down its length, stopped where he was now sitting, opened her legs wider with the movements of her fingers and toes, called to him. He'd thrown himself into her with a casualness and grace that belied comparison, and now he couldn't find the strength to lift his head. "I want to show you something," Jolie said to Hank, taking him from his fantasy. Then they got up and moved to an alcove she'd created in back of the drum set. There were large colored pencil drawings on grape cardboard. She turned them like Ferris wheels in a slow animation that changed the expression of the faces. "Are these yours?" Hank asked. "Here's one I did of Tony," Jolie said, showing him one picture in particular. At first, the picture had the head of a pig. When she began to turn it, the features changed so that in the next position, it was the body of a gorilla with the pig head on top. Finally, it evolved into a bull with a big red ring dangling from its snorting nose. She showed him another drawing. This one showed the cook, stuck to the grill, and using his feet as spatulas, frying his tongue and cock. Hank jumped back from this cartoon. Jolie laughed and kissed him on the neck and showed him the last picture. It was a self-portrait created out of the shapes and eyes of at least a dozen cats. The feline family was observing. Hank looked up at Jolie's mouth, which also changed from the shape of an O to a long slit from which she slowly slid her red tongue. "These are real works of art," said Hank. Jolie smiled and called him sweet. In her own mind, she remembered the night that Tony had pulled them out for his friends. "Look at these pieces of shit that my wife wastes her time with," he said. He always had the right to call her his wife. That had been part of the agreement. She looked at her tangle-haired visitor and decided he was definitely a little strange. She kissed him again, and this time his fingers stroked the front of her legs. "I've told Jack that I'd be up for a beer before I went to bed," she said. Then she undid his shirt button and kissed his chest. "Tony will be leaving again on Tuesday. Can you come back over on Tuesday night?" "Yes," said Hank, and found himself being walked to the door. It was a swift goodbye. He wanted to make sure she knew how much his life had changed in the last couple of hours and started to tell her. She stopped him by kissing him goodbye and saying that it was mostly going to be him that she thought about between now and Tuesday. "What else will you be thinking about?" he said. "What comes after Tuesday?" she said, and gently closed the door on his bewildered face. Hank rode home in shock, only able to feel his body.